Thank you very much. That was beautiful and disciplined singing. Thank you very much. This morning I feel so sober. Highly sobered by the events that are taking place and by all that is happening. But we thank God that we have a God in heaven who is bigger than all these problems and these challenges. May we rise up this morning as we take the scriptures together. Malachi chapter 2, we'll start to read from verse 17 to chapter 3, verse 5. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, on to chapter 3, verse 5. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Oh, where is the God of justice? And behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For it's like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and pour them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former days, years. And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, said the Lord of hosts. And media, please just scream for us before we sit down. Nahum chapter 1, verse 6. Nahum 1, 6. And how I prefer you put it on the new layer. Very good. Please, we'll read it together, brethren. One go. Who can stand before his fierce anger? Who can survive his burning fury? His rage blazes forth like fire, and the mountains crumble to dust in his presence. Father, we come to you this morning, just as we are. Speak to us, O God, in a language that we understand. Do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Chaplain, for this assignment. I don't know why he gave this assignment to me. It says, who will endure his wrath? We know God as the God of love. Is a loving God. The Bible even tells us that he has loved us with an everlasting love. Love that has no end. We are further told that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, will have everlasting life. So we know God so much as the God of love. But a number of times we forget that God has two sides. And today we are looking at the other side of God. So we will remind ourselves how we live on this part of eternity. So we will be able to be with him at the end of our life journey. So that he will be able to say, welcome, well done, my servant. So he will not say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That is why we have to look at this topic this morning. That God is also the God of wrath. In other words, the time will come when God will raise his hand of judgment upon his creation that have turned their backs on him. For so long as we listen, just like the choir sang a while ago, he has been calling so gently and tenderly calling. If we have responded and doing what he wants us to do, then there will be no problem. Then we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. The wrath of God is simply God's righteous judgment against sinful humanity. That's what it is. The wrath of God is simply God's righteous judgment. God's judgment is righteous. It's not an unrighteous judgment. It's men who dish out unrighteous judgment. Like yesterday, we were just watching the television, and something of what happened after the NSAS were a riot and all that. You know, various state governments put in place a reconciliation panel, whatever it is, to see how they can resolve these things. And we're told yesterday that they invited some people because they are very big in the army. They did not even respond. Too big. But when the righteous judgment of God will come, they cannot keep away from the summons. Say Major General this, Brigadier General that, Colonel that, and all that. Your title will not matter on the day of judgment. Somebody has tried to summarize what he understands by God's wrath. One John Stott, this is what he says, and I like it. And he says, God's wrath, according to this man, is God's steady, unrelenting, unremitting, uncompromising antagonism to evil in all its forms and manifestations. So it doesn't matter how people try to cover up evil and give it a white coating, God is against it, and that is why God's wrath must arise. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, look at what the Bible says. Please, good. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, not from this earth, against all ungodliness, not some. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, not of animals, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We live in a world where truth is thrown overboard, and you look for technicalities and truth and say, were you there? But God who is in heaven is seen. And that's why the Bible said, please still leave that scripture for us. Media, please let's just look at that scripture. Yes. Say, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against not some unrighteousness. All is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. When we try to suppress the truth and sit on it, we think no one is seeing. Even if no one is seeing, God is seeing. He's the God of wrath. And when he will thunder from heaven, of course, there's no appeal. There's no Supreme Court to go to. In Nigeria, you can go to Supreme Court and you can still lose a case. But this one, there's no Supreme Court. He's the judge. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Look at what the Bible says. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil and put darkness for light. Look at the exchange. And light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? 21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. It's like you know it all. Even possibly know it more than God. Who are you to feel that you know it more than God? To think that you are so clever, you've covered all your tracks, that no one will see you? God is seen from above. Let us know that he is the one. No one can stand against his anger. No one. Hebrews chapter 10:31. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's not a small thing. It's not a small matter at all. It says, a fearful thing. It's dreadful. It's frightening to fall into the hands of the living God. That is why when today we are still in the period of grace, we can still come back to him and say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. It's a consuming fire. The Lord is a consuming fire. The Lord is a consuming fire. The Lord, the Lord is the dew. Quiet, fire. Fire. The Lord is
the dew. Fire. The Lord is the dew.
Thank you very much. The anger of the Lord is not like human anger. Human anger at times is misplaced. And it's not distributed according to what the person has done. But God's anger is well measured, well tailored. It's like He recompenses us for what we have done. Nobody says, "Ah, Lord, you were too hard." It's not like that. God is not like that. God's holiness reveals our unholiness. It exposes our unholiness. Every day, it's like, don't look at the mirror, look at God and say, "God, help me." You can never be too holy, because God's standards are very high. God's wrath is provoked when we live and celebrate evil, like what is happening right now in Nigeria. Like Chaplain was saying during the announcement, in the Southwest, you can't even talk about it, in all over the nation. In fact, we are told that most of the bike riders are even their informants. So you should be careful who carries your bike. Even now, to report that even some ladies are even informants too. So much wickedness. You want to hobnob with the devil to kill you and destroy your own people. Why? Because of the mammon of unrighteousness. But God is slow to anger, as we find in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, because no more verse, let this just go now anyhow. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's will, that everyone, all should come to repentance. People like us, life no longer means anything to us. Yesterday there was an explosion at Agbo, or the day before, at a gas plant. I don't know how many of us were aware of it. And some people, out of curiosity, went to be a few minutes. And when a second explosion took place, and a number of them died. Because you want to be a spectator. You want to be the first to report it on the internet. The world is happening even in this state. Our brother, Professor Ronald Reka, your place there, we are told that there's so much killings between the two communities that have been living there. Somebody told that it's almost more than 100 people have died. Evil. And you think God will not arise in judgment? God's wrath will be upon all who have toyed with his message of salvation. And let's go back to that passage which we read in Malachi. Please, Malachi, because there are some things, some of the verses there that are so pointed. Please, just scroll on. The next verse, not the next one. And the next? No, okay. No, this is not the verse. We're talking about one of those verses where he talked about people who don't even care for the orphans. You don't care for the underprivileged. Yes. Look at this. Verse 5. He said, "I will come near to you for judgment. I will be swift, the Lord will be the swift witness, not any other man. He alone will be witness. It does not need human witness. No wonder John was writing, and in John chapter 12, he said, I don't even need the witness of men, because I know all that is men. That men will lie and distort the truth. He says, I will come near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, all those magicians, even in the church or anywhere, wherever they are. All those who do things, magic in the church or anywhere, against adulterers. You will not be satisfied with your wife or your husband. The Lord says judgment will come upon you. Against perjurers, against those who exploit wages, who exploit their workers, and widows and orphans. So yes, as if who will talk for you? God will talk for him. God will talk for her. And he says he's also against those who turn away an alien because it's not from your place. You're not from this place. Because because they do not fear God, that's why they do what they are doing. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's just look at two examples in the Bible of what the Lord did as it concerns his showing his wrath. If you look at Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, something happened there. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, and put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Verse 2. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. When you offer strange fires, when you do what God has not asked you to do, you are incurring the wrath of God. God has done it before. He do it again. Some people have even died, even on the altar. Some people have died in the church. That is why it is dangerous to sit on the church pew and slide into hell. That is not God's purpose for us. God's purpose is that we should make heaven. We should make heaven. Look at yet another example of a false prophet. In First Kings chapter 18, they were in majority. Majority, at times we say majority carry the vote, carries the day. But with God, it's not like that. First Kings chapter 18, verse 40. If you can scroll it for media. First Kings chapter 18, verse 40. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let any of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and executed them there. You'll be able to read and know how many they were. They were executed because they were false prophets. How many false prophets will have these days? Some will even tell you your bank account and what you have. That does not make the person a right and true prophet. God's judgment will come. How do we avoid? Or how can we avoid God's wrath? How can we avoid it? Is it possible to avoid God's wrath? Yes, very possible. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah, media. He said, oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. We cannot help ourselves. It's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. 24. Oh Lord, correct me. Brethren, while we are alive, tell the Lord, Lord, correct me. Not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Say, Lord, correct me. Let the Lord correct us before it is too late. Psalm 2, verse 12. Psalm number 2, verse 12. Say, kiss the son, lest he be angry. Kiss is an expression of affection. It's like, let us embrace the Lord. Let us run to the Lord, lest he be angry and will perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Brethren, let us embrace the Lord. Let us run into the loving grip of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can escape the wrath to come. In the mighty name of Jesus. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12. It's another way to escape God's wrath. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to how many men? To all men. You and I, the grace of God has appeared to all. In other words, we have no excuse. That's why Paul will write to Romans and say, thou art inexcusable. We have no excuse. Because the grace of God has appeared unto all men. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Does it not contrast with Romans chapter 1:18? Where it says the wrath of God has appeared, we come upon all men because of their unrighteous and ungodly living. But he says, teach us, teaching us to deny ungodliness. Let us deny every form of ungodliness. We can't begin to lose them. We know what ungodliness is. Anything that is not in line with the will of God is ungodly. Any decision, any action that contradicts the word of God is ungodly. And the Bible says we should deny all such things. We say no to unrighteousness, no to darkness, yes to light, and it will be well with us. The Bible says something in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. So I'll write it up now. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. Say, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly what? Be destroyed. And that without remedy. No, there will be no cure. That he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And why are we saying all these things? We are saying this because, like we sang a while ago, our God is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. Please skip for us 2 Corinthians 5:11 as we round up. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Brethren, what is your life like? Why not take a few moments, the next 1 minute, look at your life and say, God, if I'm on the wrong side, put me on the right side, because I don't want to be on the wrong side, because when your judgment will come, it will be terrible. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray this morning, and we ask for your mercy. Your mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord, that Lord in heaven will be delivered from the judgment to come. We know that you are the God of love. You are also the God of wrath. And your judgment is a righteous one. We ask, Lord, that your judgment will not fall upon us today. Lord, help us to examine ourselves. And as we do so, Lord, you will deliver us from every entanglement, from every defilement, from everything that offends you. You will make us what we ought to be. Lord, we plead for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, because we will not remain the same. Blessed be your name. Because we know the God we serve is a gracious God. He's a pardoning God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.